If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're asking the question, should you come out of the closet? Coming out of the closet as a poly person is an important decision, and in this episode, we will discuss the most important risks and benefits to think about before coming out. But first, we have an important PSA from Emily.
So, this episode drops on November 8th, which, if you are in the United States of America, is voting day. So if you're listening to this and you haven't gone out already, please vote. Please vote so that you can't, you know, go and be like, God, I hate this person day one, you know, pissed off or something. Because if you didn't vote, then you can't complain. So
right.
Go vote.
Yes.
It's
go
your
vote.
Civic duty.
Right.
Love
there
you.
Is also a lot more to vote about than just the president as well. And I
yes.
recommend, you know, it's a little late at this point since it is election day, but go educate yourself about those things.
Are you kidding me? It's not too late. You can, like, we got the internet now. Like, you can
that's,
Google that
right.
shit in, like,
yeah,
10
okay.
minutes and
come
get
on.
The important facts. And
it's a big, important election, guys.
And go vote.
So let's
yeah.
vote.
All right. All
thank
right.
So
go
much.
Do it. Go research and then go vote. Thank you. Okay.
For those of you outside the U.S., send us good vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wish us
vote
the best.
Vote with your vibes towards
we're
us.
We're going to need it.
Question mark?
Yeah, we're going to need some.
Yeah, for sure-sies.
Yeah. We're going to need some support yeah. and love either way. All right.
Okay.
Moving on. All right. We're talking about coming out today. So we sort of wanted to start with something that may seem obvious, but it's what is coming out? Like, what does that actually mean to be out?
It's a man.
Well, it was originally just a term used by the homosexual community. If I'm correct, I feel like mm-hmm. we're going to get, like, a bunch of angry emails correcting me on that, because I feel like I've offended whoever the original group was that actually used the term coming out. However, mm-hmm. to my knowledge, it was primarily, like, a, you know, that people, when they came out, you know, when they kind of publicly told, you know, people, sorry, it's hard to talk about coming out without just saying coming out a billion times, so I'm trying to
yes.
be more specifically about it. When they mm. honestly revealed themselves to be not heterosexual, mm-hmm. that was coming out of the closet. And then being in the closet was not being open about that. Of course, this term has gotten, you know, picked up and used by many other people. You know, the poly community mm-hmm. now uses it. The queer community now uses it. God, you can come out as, like, so many things. I feel like I've come out as, like, a, you know, guilty pleasure Britney Spears listener in the past.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Although those days are mostly behind me. Yeah. They're mostly behind me.
those
I'm
days
going
are
back
just,
into the closet with that one.
Those days are just starting for me. Well, actually, anyone who's in our Patreon-only Facebook group knows that I came out today as being a listener of One Direction. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that.
I
don't know.
That.
I kind of love them a little bit, and like so. Yeah. The question in the discussion group was about like popular songs out there that are poly songs, and I was like, well, I kind of feel like every song by One Direction is sort of that because there's five guys and they're always it seems to be singing to one person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool, like they're all dating this same girl and singing this thing to her.
I mean, that'd be awesome. Why not?
Yeah. Right. Right. Why
if
not?
All my partners banded together into a boy band secretly and then.
Oh my
recorded
God.
A number one jam
wow.
for me. That like I'd have to like I'd be done. Like mic drop.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I have one life at
the
that
lead
point.
Singer.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna yeah. start working on putting that together. If you could
okay,
put your
cool,
other partners
cool.
on notice that they need to start practicing their dance moves and their singing.
Need to start learning how to sing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And I will be in touch. No, but seriously
okay, cool,
though.
Cool.
But coming out though really is we're kind of making light of it, but it is a somewhat heavy thing. Right, it's a scary thing to do because it's
yeah.
it's telling some group of people, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, but it's telling some people who previously didn't know about something that's important about your identity.
Yeah.
Right? Whether that's, you know, whether that's a sexual preference or a relationship style or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And but I guess the reason why I wanted to bring this up, though, is that there are kind of levels of coming out, right? That it's one thing to have that initial coming out, because coming out isn't just like a one and done thing, right?
Yeah.
It's an ongoing state, I guess. But that it's not so simple as just, you know, you're either out or not, but there's levels of it, right? It's not a binary switch, it's analog. But then also, you know, when you're out, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're constantly, like, talking about, I'm poly this, I'm poly that, I'm gay this, I'm gay that, you know, whatever it is you're out about? We'll just keep using polyamory in our example here, since that's what we're talking about. But, you know, of just constantly talking about it, is it that you're out and you're also telling everyone about how good it is and how much better it is than monogamy? Or is it not that? Is it just kind of being matter of fact? Is it like you say it once and then mostly don't address it? You know what I mean? There's a lot of different levels here. There's a lot of different ways that you can be out.
I think, and I mean, there's different, you know, there's kind of different shades even within that, you know, that someone may choose to come out in such a way that it's like, well, this is very much part of my identity, versus coming out and just filling people in like, hey, by the way, like, I'm in a poly relationship. And those things are sometimes, you know, there's a lot of overlap there, but it is also kind of just a very, you know, a very different coming out process.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the case of the three of us, you just tell the entire world.
Start a podcast.
Because three of us, you know, like, we need to let you know that we have a podcast about polyamory. So yeah, now we're out.
Yeah.
We're very much out.
Well, no, that is something that I do want to talk about before we move on, is the fact that for us, I mean, when we were creating Multiamory, you know, we did have to sit down and talk about that very frankly, because, you know, I think at that point, most of us were out to immediate family, and obviously to our close friends, but that was kind of it, as far as I recall, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were excited about the idea of creating an informational resource and creating a podcast, you know, and doing something fun like that, but we did have to seriously consider, like, well, there might be consequences to this, because this is a very public thing, you know, even though podcasts start small, you know, and we started small for sure, but it's still putting it out there on the internet, like, you know, with our faces and our real names as well, you know,
that
we
was,
decide to use our actual names and not to use any kind of pseudonym.
Exactly, that was a debate we had.
Yeah, I mean, you went on Utopia, which was actual national television, and we were on it, too, in a very brief way.
Yeah.
We were on it in the very beginning episode.
But that all of that, that kind of came after the three of us kind of having this debate and finally deciding, like, you know what, we are going to use our real names and not some sort of pseudonyms or whatever, because we kind of realized that we were privileged enough to be in a in a place and types of careers where we could do that without, you know,
immediate terrible consequence.
Right. Without horrible, overwhelming consequences. And
none of us have kids. Yeah.
Right, right. And we'll talk about all this more later. But yeah, that we kind of were able to do it, and so by doing it, hopefully would be at least part of normalizing it for everyone.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this is something that, you know, in the gay community, it was definitely turned a corner when once celebrities started slowly coming out as being gay, and we started having more gay characters on TV shows and stuff. And in polyamory, that's honestly starting a little bit. I mean, the only celebrity we really have is Monique. In terms of, like, being out as being poly.
Yeah.
There's other people who've, like, almost hinted at it, or that people suspect, but the only
Shirley
one that's...
Shirley MacLaine also.
Did she? Actually. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Well, I mean, it's a little bit different, because I don't know if she's in an open relationship now, but she did talk about, like, she was in an open marriage for, like, 20 years, and then that was also an open marriage that began in the 60s, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, but also that we are starting to have poly characters on TV shows.
Yeah.
You know? So that is an exciting thing, and I think that's something to be happy about and be optimistic about. But what we're going to talk about in this episode is more for yourself, in your personal life. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about how it relates to the world, but it's kind of more about how can you evaluate your own personal situation to make that decision? You know, is this, what are the real risks and what are the real benefits to being out to different people in your lives? Right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, in presenting that information, we're not making the assumption, we're not telling you that you have to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Is essentially what I want to get at. You know, like, the reason why we want to present these risks and benefits is so that you can make your own evaluation and decision about if it's the right time for you to come out, if it's appropriate for you to come out, and
if you're in a safe environment, that's perfectly okay.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. And also the right timing. You know, this is something that Emily and I have talked about before, where with her coming out to her family, maybe it wasn't the right timing. It's all kind of worked out in the end, but maybe it would have been better to wait a little bit longer for that. So hopefully this will help you to evaluate that for yourself, regardless of whether if you're already out with some people and are debating kind of how far to take that. For example, for myself, I'm out not only, you know, with all of my family and my friends and people that I meet, but also random strangers and all of my coworkers and my bosses. And that's just something partly because of my choice to do this podcast, but also just a decision that I've made is being out as entirely as possible. Whereas, you know, you may be out to your family and your partners, but not to all of your friends or not to all of your family, or, you know what I mean? There's levels. So, and that might be right for you. But so this is kind of about helping to evaluate that, helping to figure out what that is. So really quick, before we jump into, we're going to talk about the risks first, and then we're going to talk about the benefits later. But I did want to clarify these five different spheres of your life that we kind of want to understand how each risk and benefit relates to those. So the first one is your relationships. So this is either your partner right now, if you've been monogamous and you want to come out that you're interested in polyamory, or this is new people that you're going on dates with, right? Just like how to come out to them, how soon to come out to them, people you're interested in, stuff like that. The second one is a term that we're borrowing from Elizabeth Sheff called your family of origin to differentiate.
Meaning your immediate family.
Well, it's to differentiate from your family that's like your spouse and your children. But this is more like your parents and your cousins and, you know, whatever
for
you.
The family that birthed you.
Right. The family you came from. Whatever counts as that for you.
Yeah.
So that's your family of origin. Your friends is the next sphere. Your coworkers is the fourth one. And then lastly is kind of the world as a whole, which is sort of an abstract concept since you can't quite come out to the whole world. But it's kind of that, just being out to, like, not sort of, I guess to like strangers or your, you know, server at a restaurant or, you know, kind of that sort of thing. Like all those people in your life that are on sort of in that furthest sphere out.
I actually tell everyone that I serve at the restaurants that I work at.
You're like, hi, I'm Emily. I'm polyamorous. I'll be your server today.
Exactly. Just right off the bat. I put it out there. I don't want anyone to feel weird about it.
Perfect. Love it. Yeah. All right, Dedeker, do you want to start us off on the list here?
I would love to. Okay, so let's talk about the potential risks you might be taking in choosing to come out.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest ones and most obvious ones is if you come out within a professional space, it may affect your job. You know, most people... I would evaluate and say, like, most people are not quite comfortable in coming out about polyamory in their workplace. And this is for a number of reasons. For a long time, pretty much any relationship that was not heterosexual or monogamous has been seen not as a human relationship, but as kind of a weird, deviant, kinky sex thing. You know, like, we saw this a lot.
People's minds go to the sex.
Yeah, like, we've seen this a lot. you know, like in the 40s and the 50s, you know, where if a teacher was exposed as being a homosexual, like he or she would get fired because people didn't think like,
oh, this children shouldn't just be exposed to sex.
Yeah, exactly. For some reason, it's about, it's a sexual deviancy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's something that a lot of poly people experience in the workplace as well, is that, you know, if you're just very matter of fact and open about like, oh yeah, you know, I have two boyfriends, that people don't see it as a relationship. They see like, oh, she's doing a weird sex thing. And as we all know, you know, sex and the workplace do not mix. You know, that is rife with controversy and uncomfortable feelings. And so, all three of us, if I'm wrong on that one, correct me, all three of us have experienced some form of workplace discrimination or, you know, workplace,
at least some
it,
sort
like,
of
backlash as a result of being, of being out about our relationships.
I will say, though, being at my current job, where I've been out essentially since very early on working there, I have not experienced that as much as I have in places where that sort of came up later. So for whatever that's worth, like, I'm not sure if that's more that it just sort of gets better with time, or if it might be that I've learned how to talk about it better. Yeah, I actually think,
I think that's part of it, too.
I think that's a big part of it. And that's why I was bringing up earlier about what does coming out mean, right? Like, is it talking about it all the time? Is it telling people about how great it is? Or, you know, what's sort of the balance there? And something in our interview that we did with Eli Sheff, with Dr. Eli Sheff, way back when, over a year ago now, that what she talked about was basically, like, giving them enough information that they need, but not any more. Right? Like, kind of clarifying things, but not giving them any more information than they need or than they ask for. And I think that at work, like Dedeker was pointing out, that's really important, because here's the deal, right? Like, if you're discriminated against at work for being polyamorous, you could pretty easily argue that that's, you know, discrimination, and there are, you know, legal things going on in the U.S. at least, possibly other countries, about polyamory being an orientation. There isn't for polyamory, but
there are
people working on that, of like getting polyamory qualified as an orientation so it can be protected in the same way.
That's cool.
But if someone else interprets you talking about polyamory as you talking about your sex life at work, you're actually the one who's on the hook with HR. And that's the thing I wanted to point out, is that especially in a place like work, but I would say also with your family, if you come from sort of a typical American sex negative family, like all of us did, that the same thing applies, of like being very clear to not make it about sex, because you know that's where people's minds are going to go. And kind of being
distinction.
Being clear and like sort of erring on the side of showing that it's not that, even if there is that aspect to it.
Yeah,
that doesn't have to be. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and that segues actually nicely into our next risk here, which is that it may upset or estrange your family, friends, coworkers, or even your partners if you're coming out to a partner. And I think that's something that we all understand inherently. And I think for a lot of people, that's actually the main fear they have.
Yeah,
and they might say it's actually because they're worried about losing their job, or they're worried about their kids or something. But I think a lot of times it's just we're worried about people not liking us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had my best friend. I used to post a lot of stuff, like especially when we were starting the podcast and when Dedeker was on Utopia and stuff, I would post a lot of things on Facebook with the three of us and, you know, being really excited, hashtag polyamory. And she actually decided to, like, exit Facebook entirely because she just like didn't want to see me doing that. So
something
yeah,
that she thought was wrong and
was like a deviant thing. Yeah, for sure.
Couldn't she just take you out of her newsfeed instead of
that would make more sense in my opinion. But apparently she needed to do the grand gesture.
Yeah,
she needed to do the grand gesture there. So, anyways, it just this was someone who I expected to be more tolerant of it, and she still isn't to this day. So
And you did come out to her right around the same time she was getting married and like committing to a very different form of life, and I think the challenge of polyamory was a little bit much there too. And that is something to be aware of.
Absolutely. Timing is everything, like you said.
Well, timing and also how you put it. And I've found that I will definitely emphasize different parts of polyamory talking to different people when I have sort of a sense of what they're about. If they are someone who's just gotten engaged or just gotten married, or who's been married for a while, right, I will kind of be a little more gentle about not saying that polyamory is better or, you know, whatever, that it's more just kind of saying, oh, it's something that I'm doing, but, you know, here it is.
Yeah. Okay, so the next one we wanted to talk about deals with going on new dates, potentially, with new lovers. So, because if you come out to potential new dates as polyamorous, you may be rejected for that date. Or you may be rejected for a long-term relationship. Unfortunately, just some people won't, you know, be okay with it. They're like, I'm not going to be with you. You're a player. Or I'm not going to be with you. You just like to sleep with a lot of people. And I'm looking for a monogamous long-term relationship. So that's the unfortunate part of it. Even if you do really, you know, carefully and concisely speak about it, it often will not work. And some people just will reject you. So,
yeah. I don't think I've met, like, any poly person that's been like, hey, dating is super easy, right?
Oh, God, like, no.
But I found three awesome quality long-term partners in, like, a week. Like, this is the best.
Yeah.
Said no poly person ever.
Although, I will say,
someone on OkCupid, like, hate on me, like, crazy.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's
you
so
you get the
easy
people
get
who just
hate.
Need to be, yeah, need to be haters. Yeah. But I was going to say, I did actually, though, meet you, Dedeker, and Brooke within like a couple weeks of each other.
That's weird and crazy. That is weird and crazy.
I had two great relationships come from OkCupid, so That's cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It can happen.
Maybe.
It can happen. Jay. Just don't go in counting on that.
Yeah. So the other thing that you know that is kind of like taking this one step further is that if you're not rejected for dates, you know, you may have people who are new to poly, but they're still like, oh, okay, well, whatever, like let's go on a date and figure it out. Who may continue to date you, but then eventually realize, like, you know what, actually, this is not my cup of tea.
Yeah,
and that's
for
fine.
Sure.
Like, obviously, this is not for everybody, but that still hurts and still sucks, you know, especially if you started emotionally investing in this person and then suddenly they're like, ugh, no, actually, not for me.
Well, it's them or me thing, like the ultimatum.
Well, yeah, that's
like,
the extra
really
shitty
bad.
Version of it.
Yeah, definitely. And that does happen sometimes. I guess I do want to, on this particular risk, though, I want to leave people with the understanding that, you know, this might happen. Like, you might have people who are not interested in you right from the beginning or don't want to get into a relationship because of this. But what we've found just kind of over time is that while that might seem like it sucks in the moment and seems like you have fewer choices in the moment, actually, in the long run, like, the number of quality compatible partners that you have is actually the same, or possibly even better, because you're not wasting as much time on these relationships that are less compatible.
Yeah, if you actually, like, don't try to, like, sweat and strain to, like, make someone be okay with poly, or to, like, keep someone comfortable who clearly is not comfortable with poly, and instead divert that time and energy to, like, actually finding people who are down, it does pay off in the long run.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. What about the next one here that
this one we don't have to spend too much time on
but
just if you're if you're out, you are going to be talking about it constantly and explaining yourself constantly
and repeating yourself constantly.
I mean, which is not a bad thing, of course. Like, people need to be educated, awareness needs to be generated. Like, that's all fine and good. But because of the fact that, like, this is still something that some people just, you know, don't even know what the word polyamory means. And, like, if you come out about it, and, like, I've gotten into a habit now where if I don't have the energy, time, or motivation to give the talk to somebody, if it's not important, you know, that I will just like, gloss over it as quickly as I possibly can.
Right.
But chances are, if you bring it up, it's going to be a two-hour discussion.
This is something that came up actually at the most recent polyprocessing group that I went to, where there kind of came up this discussion of someone kind of you know, angrily stating the fact that, you know, they're like, you are not obligated to explain or educate anyone, like, explain this or educate anyone on polyamory. Like, you're not required to do that. And it was interesting because the group was very divided on this statement, where some people are like, yeah, that's right. We can just be who we are. We don't need to constantly be explaining ourselves. And the other half of us, including myself, kind of being like, yeah, I guess I don't have to, but I kind of like to. Like, I'm happy that I get that opportunity. So, for, you know, you can go either way. I know there are some people who are like, you know what, fuck it. I don't really care for that, so I'm not going to do it. And other people like myself were like, yeah, sure, like, I am going to educate people because I feel like that's ultimately going to make my life better, maybe theirs better as well, but that you can choose either one. You don't actually have to be explaining yourself constantly. And I think learning to describe it more succinctly and kind of make it clear that it's like, hey, this is a choice I'm making and not something you're entitled to know anything about other than what I've told you can get you out of some of that explaining that people might try to get from you otherwise.
All right, there's so the one last more risk.
And this is the one that keeps a lot of people in the closet, and for very good reason. Is that the custody of your children could be compromised if you're out of the closet. It's a very, very sad, depressing reality. People have lost custody of their children because some conservative judge, you know, sees these people are like living in the polyamorous lifestyle, and again, only associates it with like, oh, this is some kind of weird kinky sexual deviance. This is not
or like
a healthy
an unstable
environment for
home
a kid to be raised
or
in. And so, you know, most poly parents that I know who have kids are not out of the closet for that reason. You know, another factor of it being that if you're out, you know, your child, especially if your child is quite young, doesn't have the ability to defend his or her parents' choice to other adults. And that is what will happen. You know, I've heard stories of like when parents were out and teachers confronted the child on, tell me about your parents' relationship. And like a 5-year-old kid does not have the ability
to
accurately explain or to be able to handle direct criticism from their freaking teacher.
Yeah,
which is tough and really sad.
It is tough and it is sad. This is one of those cases where I will say, you know, none of us have kids. So, you know, we're not in this category. But this is definitely one of those categories, though, where if you are someone who does have kids and is poly and does have the means to defend that... like you live in a place where that's defensible and you have the monetary means to, you know, fight for the custody of your children. If it came to that, it usually doesn't actually, but it is just something to be afraid of because obviously that's a big deal. But if you're someone who does have the means to do that, that is a really important thing to start making that change, to start showing that, that you can be good, responsible parents.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
To bring us back in, we've been talking about all the risks, and to be honest, it sounds like coming out is kind of a crappy thing to do.
Yeah, we sure made it sound bad, huh?
Yeah,
we didn't really mean to do that. Let's talk about the good stuff about coming out.
Yeah, okay, so what are the good things that you might look forward to in coming out?
I think,
well,
the biggest overarching one is that you get to live in honesty and integrity. You get to be congruent, which is a word that I really like to use.
Jace loves the word congruent.
I love the word congruent. And it's basically just that your actions and your words all line up and are in congruence with each other. It sounds so abstract, I guess, to say it that way, but I feel like it's a big deal, right? To just be able to be honest and not have to constantly be having this filter up of, oh shit, wait, how did I phrase this? Which partner does this person know about? What have I called this person before?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, I feel like we've all been there of having that sort of...
Yeah.
I shared the story at our last discussion group, but I mean, obviously in my life, I'm fairly out, you know, have to be pretty out. However, you know, within my personal life, when I'm meeting new people who don't know me, you know, depending on the context, sometimes I won't come out. You know, sometimes I don't want to have that conversation. Sometimes I'm in a scenario where I don't feel like, you know, it's appropriate to come out. When Jason and I went to a party that was being hosted by one of our poly friends in Tokyo, you know, met a whole bunch of new people at the party. And about halfway through the party, I realized, like, wow, like, this is so nice that I can just be honest and, like, not think about it. Like, I can just be like, yeah, like, I'm here with my partner, Jace. We've been here for a couple months. Like, next week, my partner who lives in Singapore is going to be coming and visiting me. And, you know, and then, like, a couple weeks after that, I'm going to be going visiting a partner here. You know, like, the fact that I didn't have to think at all about any kind of filter.
And that's great.
Even for someone like me who's relatively out, even just having that little bit was just, like, so refreshing. Like, there was, like, something inside me that just, like, relaxed.
It's kind of amazing.
I don't think you can underestimate like how nice it is just to be able to be honest and not have to feel like you're hiding some part of yourself.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I realize this is a luxury that I'm able to do this, but for me at work, it's really nice to be able to talk to my coworkers about Dedeker and, you know, that long-term relationship, but also be like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And I can be like, oh, I'm actually really excited. I'm going on a first date. And that's just a conversation I can have. And it doesn't even, it's not even like we have in-depth conversations about all of it, but just the fact that I can even say that as part of that normal small talk of like, oh, that's really cool. It's exciting. You know, that we can share stuff with each other and I'm not having to be like, I'm seeing friends this weekend, right? Like, there is something really nice about it.
Definitely. What's the next one?
It's also going to be easier to find like-minded people when you're out. You can actually go on meetup groups and try to find like-minded people. If you happen to be at a particular venue where there are going to be a lot of polyamorous out people, you can, you know, say like, hey, I too am out.
But even if they're not, though, like if you're the one who's out and they're not, right?
That's true. You can, you know, at least give them, I don't know, a little bit of help, maybe.
Some hope, exactly.
Well, because we haven't developed the, like, universal poly secret handshake or whatever
That's true.
So if there could be an amazing poly person at that same bar or that same party or in the same social group as you, and you'll never know it if neither of you is out.
Right?
We need to come up with what the Jesus fish is. For polyamory.
We need the Jesus fish of polyamory.
Well, it's interesting.
Did you know, Em, about the origin of the Jesus fish?
No. Is that like a secret handshake?
It was a secret signal, right? I'm pretty sure I recall correctly. Yeah, it was a secret signal.
You that, could
like,
say anything.
With your, like, in the dust, like, with your foot, you could draw, like, the bottom half of the fish. And someone else could come along and, like, complete it. And then you know, like, oh, you're a fellow Jesus lover.
Right.
Wow.
We need to do that with poly. Is it with the, like, polyamory symbol, like, with the infinity heart? Like,
there you go.
Is it something where you just, like, draw a heart or, like, just draw an infinity symbol on a napkin and then, like, if someone...
Draws a heart around your infinity, then you know.
Yeah. Then they know. Then they know.
Yeah.
No, I will say, like, me being out has caused other people that know about the podcast or who've, like, seen my Facebook and see, like, oh, I'm the, you know, one of the hosts of Multiamory. They've been like, oh, like, I've been really interested in getting into polyamory. That's so cool.
Definitely.
Can I, you know, talk to you more about that or something? And so it's nice to be thought of as a resource in that way. And that's simply just by people knowing that I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
One that I want to bring up is the fact that if you're out, it means that all of your partners can enjoy, like, receiving your affection, receiving your acknowledgement
your
recognition. Yeah, publicly. Exactly. Publicly. Mm-hmm. Even something as simple as being able to post about multiple partners on Facebook.
Yeah.
As in, like, you know, I can post a selfie that I take with one partner, but then, like, you know, a couple weeks later, if I'm on a date with someone else, I could talk about that and tag them in it, you know, that no one has to feel like they're being hidden.
Feeling like you're the one who's hidden is hard. And when you're not out, you
really
do kind of have to choose to either not acknowledge any partners publicly or to choose just one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of shitty.
And that's hard. Yeah. So being out definitely allows you to give those partners affection. And again, to take this into all these different spheres we talked about, if it's at your workplace, then it's like when you have the company holiday party, understanding that that's a different person than you maybe brought to the company New Year's party or whatever it is, or maybe even your work is cool enough that you could bring multiple people, but you know, but even if you just have your plus one, to understanding that it's a different person and that there's not something, you know, untoward
happening.
Exactly.
No one can, like, it'll hopefully prevent someone from awkwardly coming up into you and be like, what, did you break up with so-and-so?
Right. And the same your family, you know, same thing, going to family functions or having people around, and that, that you're not kind of having to hide them or be like, well, shit, if I can't bring the person I brought last time, I can't bring anyone or have to do a lot of explaining or whatever it is.
That's
also really nice and something I've enjoyed a lot.
Oh, good.
Emily, you were talking about long-term sustainability. I love that one.
Definitely. I like the idea that if you're out to your partners, you can just, like, continue cultivating, I guess, long-term sustainability within your relationships. And also, I mean, just being polyamorous in general, I think, kind of helps breed sustainability within a relationship, because you're not going to be, you know, thinking like, hey, I'm going to cheat on this person because I'm not into them as much anymore, or whatever. And so it just...
Right. Kind of the level of communication, like, it requires. And...
Well, exactly. And just, like, knowing, having it known, like, hey, this is a thing that I'm going to be doing with you, with, you know, any of my partners. It can help make, like, a long-term relationship happen within each of those. So, I don't know. I just like the idea of sustainability within these relationships by being out.
I think this is also an important one to think about, because there are a lot of people out there who the person, or like the sphere that they're trying to figure out how to come out to, is their partner, is their long-term monogamous partner.
Sure.
And that, I would say, of all of these, could be the most scary for a lot of people and feel like you have the most to lose there. And that is, sustainability, though, is a huge one for that. That even if all it does is start more honest conversations, and you're not going in being like, our relationship has to look this certain way, but like, hey, let's have a talk about what our relationship is and how we do it, and not just kind of take for granted that it's going to look a certain way. Even just that conversation can contribute hugely to the sustainability of that relationship, because you've kind of opened up this whole area of communication that you didn't have before.
Well, and you and I just, like, come from parents who cheated on their partners.
Sure.
And when you look at it from that standpoint, like, hey, it maybe that could have been changed had they been open about, like, what they actually wanted to do. Because there still was potentially love there between the original partners. And yet, because we're taught that that's not okay, that you have to cheat or get out or something... Have a relationship instead of being open and honest about it. So I think sustainable, it can create a sustainable relationship, because that doesn't have to be the only option.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Certainly.
And then,
so just to kind of hit our last one.
Yes.
Our last one's a big one.
World peace.
Oh, world peace. You sound like Miss Universe contestant.
So
yeah. Miss Polyverse. Okay, no, but... Oh, that's so good.
Miss Polyverse?
Oh,
what would Miss Polyverse...
person polyverse. We don't have a gender neutral like prefix for a name, but
we don't, do we?
Yeah.
Person polyverse.
What would person polyverse be judged on?
All the same categories. You know, there'd be an evening gown, there'd be a swimsuit, there'd be schedule management, there'd be an extemporaneous speech, and there'd be like a talent contest.
Should we really be talking about like Miss Universe pageants given the current state of affairs?
Yeah, okay, sorry, I'm going to bring us back to world peace, which,
yes,
again, given the current state of affairs, who knows? The thing is that the more people who do take advantage of these benefits, the more people who do live honestly and with integrity, the more people who are able to make their partners feel good and feel acknowledged and feel accepted and not feel hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more people are able to fully own themselves and who they are and what their relationships are and are able to come out, you know, kind of boldly and bravely and courageously, it makes a better world for us. I mean, first of all, it makes a better world for poly people, you know, because the more awareness there is, the more normal it is, it makes it easier and easier and easier for other people to come out. But also just really, honestly, like the more people who are able to live truthfully, you know, I think that makes for happier human beings, which makes for, you know, hopefully a happier planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. just kind of showing that there are those options out there that, you know, there could be someone else out there who feels different from what they think the mainstream does and might feel like something's wrong with them for feeling different than that. And it might not even be about the same thing as you. But if you're kind of this example of like, hey, I'm doing something that's different from the norm, and that doesn't mean that I'm throwing my life away. It doesn't mean I'm being irresponsible. It doesn't mean I'm not giving it a lot of thought and consideration. That can be freeing for them as well about, you know, whatever it is that for them they feel different about than what they were taught is normal. Because for oftentimes the thing we're taught are normal are not actually as normal as we're taught they are. So kind of being an example of that. So this is our sort of big, you know, let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. right? That it's true, though. It does make a difference that every person who's out and every person who knows a poly person or knows a bisexual person or a homosexual person, like, it does make a difference, or a trans person, right? Like, it does make a difference. Even knowing someone who knows someone who, right, that's been shown in studies to actually have a really big effect on how people vote and how people treat people in these minorities is just simply by them being a human in their life, by them knowing someone.
Like having just a human connection.
And even if it's even removed through another person, that it just makes it become real. That these are actually humans and not just an idea, not some
concept.
Other. Right? Yeah. Which is a beautiful thing. And we can all change the world and love each other.
Changing the world one podcast at a time.
Also voting.
And also voting,
also vote, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Happy election day or week to everyone in the U.S. And thank you so much for listening. If you guys...
You guys can get in...
Yeah, you do it. Do it. Do it.
Okay, sorry. if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can email us at info@multiamory.com. You can tweet at us on Twitter @multiamory. You can follow us on YouTube. We have a bunch of YouTube subscribers now.
Mm-hmm.
You can find our Facebook group at multiamory. Gosh, what else can they do? You
our go to Instagram. Patreon.
Instagram.
Our Instagram. Gosh, there's just so many now.
Yes,
the Instagram is @multiamory_podcast.
Yes.
And lastly, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/multiamory.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know if there are some benefits that we missed or some risks that we missed or what your experience has been coming out or what your debates are about whether you should come out. We'd love to hear from you and get you involved in the community. We love you and we'll see you next week.
World peace.
Bye.